Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
I'm Jenny Longdon, and this is Absolute Radio Country. Today I'm joined by a husband and wife duo. They've been taking the country music world by storm with CMA Award nominations, a Grammy nomination, and collaborations with some of country music's biggest names, Emmylou Harris, and more recently, Zach Bryan. Michael and Tanya, the Warren Treaty, welcome back to Absolute Radio Country.
Thank you so much. We're very happy to be here.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you. So I caught up with you last year in 2023 at the Long Road Festival. I think you'd literally just come off stage. Everybody loved your performance that day. People were saying best performance they've ever seen. They were really raving about you. And then 2024 has already been an amazing year for you. You've just been nominated for 2 CMT Awards. Duo Group Video of the Year for Have You a Heart and Performance of the Year for On My Own. How does it feel getting this kind of recognition?
Every time something new happens, it's just like the first time. You know, we're just very grateful and very humble and very excited for all the things that are happening, you know, for us. And, you know, it's a lot of fun and it's a lot of, brings us a lot of joy to see what's happening and to see how the fans are affected by our music.
And you've got this brand new single out called Stealing a Kiss. It's a very romantic song. So where did that come from?
Just pretty much missed opportunities. I have a little story about it. I'm walking through a tunnel with Tanya early on in our meeting and trying to figure out if she likes me or not, you know, whatever it is. And she held my hand and I was like, oh, I think we're in there. And when I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to go ahead and lay one on her, really just to see. And I went to go kiss her, and she moved out the way and walked away. And I was like, oh, God, I regret not being able to get that kiss. So that's what Stealing the Kiss is all about.
You went for it. You tried.
I tried, and there was nothing but air there.
I love that. And you've described the song as country soul. Would you say that's kind of your sound overall?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that, you know, what we do is we do a lot of genres with it's like soul with the influence of country, gospel with the influence of country, R&B with the influence of country, folk with the influence of country, with our Western apparel or our storytelling, whether it comes from Alabama or it comes from North Carolina or, you know, even highlighting some of the Panamanian roots that I go down deep in Tanya's heritage and really just trying to bring something fresh to the genre of country music. And we're so excited to be here.
As a genre, country music is opening up so much, isn't it, at the moment, to all these different varieties of sound, like Zach Bryan's Americana, Beyonce with her poppier sound. Is it a really exciting time to be a part of country music?
I would say Zach Bryan, definitely, 100%. I believe that Zach Bryan, the trails that Mickey Guyton has charted, Darius Rucker, even Kane Brown, who we don't mention much when you think of African-American artists, but Kane Brown is definitely an African-American artist. Looking at their work and their examples, Breland is another one. You know, these are some of the ones, Reese Palmer, these are people who laid the groundwork for Michael and Tanya. And I think that's really cool. But I also think that it's very important to acknowledge the door openers. You know, because it's one thing to do an album and to say you're doing a country record and it'd be for a selfish gain or for whatever thing that you're trying to say. But it's another thing to not only do it, but open literally the door and grab a hand and walk them through, like Zach Bryan did for us with Hey Driver, like Chris Stapleton did for us when he took us on his tour, and being able to put his soulfulness and his bluesiness to, again, he's a blues artist with country influence. But also, the very first people to open the doors for us was Reese Palmer, who definitely told us we could do country music, that it was for us, and really gave us the knowledge and education. And then the first person to ever take us out on the road was the beautiful, talented Miss Valerie June, who is a folk artist with country influence. So, you know, I think that anyone who wants to come into the genre, such as a Beyonce or anybody, I think that it would be very cool if they did that research and really did that study and spent some time with those artists. Every artist that we've mentioned, we spent time with, and we've been able to understand their missions as well. So I think it is a beautiful time for country music to change its narrative and open up its borders. And let's just all have a really good time.
What do you think to Beyoncé making her country debut?
I don't think it's a country debut at all. The one thing I will say is I feel like she didn't understand what the struggle is for the Black artist over on this side. I think that just to slap the color of skin on something and say, well, I'm Black and they're not playing me or anything like that, I think that that's an easy argument. I think that the work and the study is understanding how African-Americans abandoned and felt that they had to abandon this art form. So I think this is what I mean by really looking at it from a broader camera lens and understanding that we have a role in the acceptance and the acknowledgement. I think that when Beyoncé came and tried this in 2016, she was met with great opposition. You know, she was met with some of the most heinous and hateful remarks and disparaging remarks. And that's one thing. Everyone, whether you're pop, R&B, soul, there is a group of people who are always going to feel like that. And I will remind her, even in the Destiny's Child era, she's been met with that before. Some people felt that she sang too much. There's been Beyoncé hate before, and no one called out colorism then because it was unpopular. And what I think now is I think that country music has to acknowledge that it did show some true colors to one of the world's most brightest talents. I think what she needs to understand is, but now she's not alone. You know, back then you only had Darius. You had a older Tony Pride, but now she's not alone. She's got, again, I named those artists again that people have taken to and that are doing the work. Kane Brown, Brilliant, Brittany Spencer, Reese Palmer, Darius Rucker, The War and Treaty,
Mickey Guyton.
You know, and then there's so many others that are coming along that are not even just African-American. Like in our label, we have a Latina. His name is Louis the singer. So she's not alone and we're not alone. We got a weapon in Beyoncé for the greater good.
I'm so glad I asked you that and got your take. So something very fun. My husband loves wrestling. He's 43, but loves his wrestling. He came to me the other day as someone who listens to like heavy metal. And he was like, Jenny, have you heard The War and Treaty? They're amazing. I was like, yes, of course I've heard The War and Treaty. And yes, I've interviewed them before. He was like, they were on, was it Raw or something like that? I'm trying to get my head around wrestling. How was that performing at a wrestling event?
Well, we were on SmackDown.
Oh, was it SmackDown? Sorry, my bad.
And it was a Salute the Troops. And we sang for that. And it has just been an amazing thing. First off, I am a major fan. I will probably rival your husband in fandom.
Oh, yeah.
Or we won't be rivals. We'll be tag team partners or buddies. But
yeah,
wrestling is not just sports entertainment. It's a culture. It's a movement. It's a family. And to be accepted into the WWE universe and the WWE family are two different things. I was already part of the WWE universe as a fan, but to be able to get in there and meet the incredible, incredible artists, such as starting with Drew McIntyre. We met at a country music awards show, and it was like we weren't meeting for the first time. It felt like a brotherhood. And then we go to the Bella Twins, and we forged this budding relationship with Nikki Garcia currently. And I didn't think Nikki would remember us because we met one time in New York. But when she came to that same country music award, she definitely remembered who we were. And she's been inboxing us and that thing. And then to meet some of the current legends of the day, such as Jerry King Lawler, Michael Hayes, Michael Cole, the great announcer, to be able to meet Triple H himself, Stephanie McMahon, to spend time with her, Charlotte Flair, and more recently we've met someone who was a major bucket list on my Mount Rushmore that I cannot talk about because you'll see it pretty soon on the social media. But there's a cool interaction, a cool crossfire between the War and Treaty and someone that has branded themselves. It's in their veins, it's in their blood. And when you see that, you'll see the true adoration between the two entities. So, yeah.
I recognize the name Drew McIntyre. He's like massive, isn't he? Like, he's like an Adonis.
Yeah. He's massive, but his humility makes him so like, you won't even notice he's in the room because he's such a humble individual. Mm-hmm. And, but all of the locker room back there, they all have this presence when you speak with them of nothing but gratitude to be in the positions that they are. And it's something that we all can learn a thing or two from.
Yeah, because you're all performers, aren't you? And entertainers, and it's all art, isn't it? So back to the UK, you're not strangers to the UK at all. You've been performing here fairly often for a couple of years now. You did The Long Road last summer, which is where I met you. How does it feel to be coming back to play our most iconic venue, the Royal Albert Hall, with Highways Festival?
That's a bucket list. I mean, the Royal Albert Hall is kind of, you know, it's one of those venues where you're like, okay, I made it. It's beautiful. It's historic. And to be able to come back, I love the UK. I actually started my career in the UK first, you know, in transition into America. I love the fans. I love the love that they have for, you know, stripped down organic music. It really is all music, you know. So I'm very excited about coming back, and I can't wait.
Have you ever been to the Royal Albert Hall?
Only online.
In conversation of the great Beyonce, I frequently watch a YouTube video, a YouTube concert of an artist at Royal Albert Hall. And I remember listening to how he felt about being there and the history and that kind of thing. And so my first artist I ever saw perform at the Royal Albert Hall, not physically because I've never been, but was none other than the great Jay-Z. That was a true moment in hip-hop culture, you know, and Jay-Z's at the Royal Albert Hall. And from then on, it's been a bucket list venue to play. Even the great Adele in the Royal Albert Hall. And to be able for Ty and I to add our names to the list in whatever capacity, you know, certainly for this, but to be able to do enough work to get enough attention of the great people in the country to be able to come back as a headliner would be truly a dream come true.
What can UK fans expect from that show from you guys?
Great energy, love. We just can't wait to experience also what they're going to bring to us, because I think that's a part of it that, you know, as an artist, you do look for that when you get on stage as an energy that you're trying to connect with. So it's very important that happens for us as well. So we're looking forward to feeling them out and feeling that good energy.
Finally, on iconic venues, you did your Grand Ole Opry debut a couple of years back now. What is that like? Because a lot of people in the UK will never get the chance to go there. So what is that like?
Well, our debut then is completely different for how they're debuting artists now.
Yeah.
I mean, now they have the special debut shows and stuff like that. But the first thing you feel is you feel immediately like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. When you first pull up, there's a parking space with your name on it, literally. Mm-hmm. Says reserved. And yeah, it's reserved for the Warren Treaty by the Grand Ole Opry. And then you walk in and immediately you see what it's about. You see the attire. You see the footnotes on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But the first person you meet is the security guard that's in the foyer of the Opry. He's always there, and he greets you, and he's very loud and fun, and he's a senior gentleman, but he's so youthful.
Mm-hmm.
And then the workers, and as you frequent the Opry, you get to really fall in love with the staff and the workers that work the grounds, and their knowledge and the honor that they feel being there, you know. And then you take the stage, and when you realize you're very few that gets that chance to stand in that circle and represent the vast majority that look like you, that wanted the opportunity, and realize you've got it, that becomes spiritual. because you want to take it and you want to make sure that you do the right thing with that. And so Tanya and I, we held hands, we kiss, and we go stand in that circle, and we let it encamp around us, and then we walk away.
Yeah.
So,
and there's a wall that has all the names engraved on it of people who have been inducted. And then you walk past it as you leave it out, and there's Dolly's outfit encased. You're actually walking out. So it's just, it's an experience. You know, it's an experience from the moment, like Michael said, that you go inside. You go inside the dressing rooms that have the names of, you know, famous, all the famous country artists. And then you go in there, there are pictures all over the place of the country artists who have performed there and are inducted in the Country Music Hall of Fame. And it's just great. I mean, to the Grand Ole Opry, and it's just great. You know, it really is historic, and you feel a part of something so much, which it is bigger than itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, you've taken me there. Thank you. Oh, this has been great. We can't wait for you to come over. We're really looking forward to Highways. I'm going to be there. I'll be bringing the energy from the audience for you. Thank you so much for talking to us on Absolute Radio Country today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us again. It's so good to see you.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters. And we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.